May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was looking at some stuff over the last couple of days for today, and temptation with John chapter 1 is to preach about that, the start of a new year with new beginnings. But it's one of those passages of scripture that we've heard a lot over the Christmas season. And because of my bent towards the prophets, I wanted us to think about Jeremiah. I found some words from very Reverend Derek Browning, who sets the scene very well for this time of year. He says, "Few things pack up and disappear so quickly as the Christmas spirit. After what seems like months of preparation, for many people the point of Christmas seems to evaporate. After any unwanted presents have been recycled, the last remnants of the turkey have been transformed into a final dish, and the pine needles have been swept from the floor. Few, if any, celebrate the 12 days of Christmas now, losing that gradual sense of unwrapping the divine mystery that is the Incarnation. The gift of the Christ child is not only for Christmas, he is for the whole of the year. Jesus is God's outrageous gift of generosity, who has come to address the chasm that yawns between the divine and the human. Jesus is the bridge of hope and redemption, across whom we move from despair to hope, from emptiness to fulfillment, and from darkness to light. Jesus, Word made flesh, the physical presence of God, takes us from the reality of the Incarnation to the unfolding realization of who and what God is and does as we approach Epiphany. Apart from God's inspiration and engagement, humanity would have remained stuck in a place far from hope and far from heaven." Good words. The reality of life, no matter which year we find ourselves in, is helplessness and hopelessness, which can only be transformed by the unshakable presence of God. When the novelty of secular festivity fades, the celebration of God's appearance in history and his experience of humanity shines as a light into the darkest of days. Jeremiah has much to say about this. The text that we've heard this morning comes from what's known as the Book of Consolation, chapters 30 to 33. And the words break from the doom and gloom that pines through the rest of the prophecy. God is saying to his people, "I've been telling you about the worst things that you can imagine that are going to happen to you. And you may think that this will be the end. But I want you to know that before it ever happens, you can and you will be redeemed. Even before the disaster strikes, God assures a terrified people that they will be restored." Because they couldn't imagine disaster, let alone restoration, God paints a picture of a hopeful future with vivid images. A joyful throng marching through the desert on a level path surrounded by streams of water. A banquet overflowing with the best of food and drink. A dance where people are enjoying themselves, a garden filled with the bounty and the riches of the earth, and best of all, a previously menacing God as a loving father and a tender shepherd. In the middle of all of the chaos, things will get better. People were first taken away from the land in 597 BC, and it was a time of destabilization and terror. The experience of exile, to be cut off from everything that you knew and loved, for many of us is unthinkable. But still, for people today across our world, it's what is the norm. To be isolated involuntarily from the things that we consider normal, natural, the things that form us, the stuff that makes us who we are, we're removed from. Set adrift without the stuff that keeps us anchored and sure. These exiled Israelites were in such a position. But in the desert of exile, they journeyed with them, carrying faith. And this began to give them hope for the future, something that they were still able to imagine and dream of when the worst possible things were happening. God speaks, echoing a new life that called life from nothing in Genesis, preempted in St. John's words at the start of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word." Faith transforms. Exiled people come home. New life starts in a dry desert place. Songs of joy come out of despair. God brings the hoped for to the hopeful and leads the lost back home. Leading the faithful home, God's power to redeem is mighty. He's able to bring back those who've been exiled to the farthest parts of the earth, not just around the corner. The Holy One sustains those whose resilience for the journey homeward may have been impaired. Those people who would not be able to make the journey were it but for God being there to nourish and sustain them. No one is forgotten or left behind. All of the exiled, without exception, will journey on the way to become a restored community. For ourselves, figuring out where God's plan and path will take us at the start of a new year can be an exciting or a terrible thing. It can be something that we can only see that exile in front of us and nothing beyond. But taking that beautiful example of those exiled people and daring to believe, daring to hope, and then leaving it in God's hands, leaving ourselves in God's hands, and seeing where He will take us and how He will restore us. We start the new year with hope. And as we live through it, we cling on to that hope and we embrace it as we go.